Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
Market moving insight and analysis. Join Jim Cramer, David Faber, and me, Carl Quintanilla, on the opening bell hour of CNBC Squawk on the Street. Good Wednesday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer, David Faber at the New York Stock Exchange. Coming off four straight gains, record highs for all the major averages. Got a Fed statement and presser this afternoon with the taper announcement and rate guidance in focus. 10-year yield hits a 2.5-week low, and ADP, as you heard Joe say, 571K above expectations. Our roadmap begins with the return of the short squeeze. Watching wild swings for shares of Avis, Zillow, Bed Bath. In fact, Bed Bath CEO Mark Tritton will join us in a few minutes.
Plus, seeking tea leaves from the Fed. Stocks, of course, at new records as investors await news on the central bank's post-COVID policy course.
And watching all the day's earnings movers, CVS, Discovery, T-Mobile, Lyft, Marriott, all among the names reporting quarterly results. But it has been said already last night and today, Jim, that when it comes to Avis, it's what you get when you get short interest meeting thin markets.
Yeah, look, I think that people don't understand. This is a new world. There's, like Melissa Lee's Pete, excellent documentary. There's a whole new group of people out there. If they see, or they smell blood in the water of short sellers, they show no mercy. And you're going to see that with Bed Bath, where people are quite wrong. And you'll take a look at Avis and, yes, it added $10 billion in market cap, but these people, remember, they're insensitive to market cap. If they cared about market cap, they wouldn't take GameStop to. And I mean, there's obviously, David, a group of people who have discovered that there are hedge funds, representing rich people, by the way, that can be annihilated very quickly.
There are also hedge funds that are in on it.
Oh, you mean like they're fellow travelers?
Also part of, yes.
Fellow travelers.
That's a nice way to put it.
Yeah, well, it's a left-wing way, communist way, actually.
That do participate as well. Listen, Avis, you know, we started to watch it yesterday around 10 o'clock. We know that those who owned Hertz were short Avis,
right,
just as a hedge.
Right, that was a hedge. It was brilliant.
And then also Avis itself had already been up some 700-800%, had an enormous performance going into the earnings print.
Right.
So there were those who were simply shorted as a result of saying, well, how much better can it get? Then you got better, and then you had that enormous short squeeze, which took the stock up to as high as 545 yesterday.
At one point, it was GameStop at the end of February.
It was up over 225% at one point.
Well, look, I mean, Carl, what happens is you get – I don't think people realize that a lot of money is run. That's already a technical term, but a lot of money managers are given money, and they're saying, listen, we need you to have some shorts. So the most logical short was, well, if you thought Hertz was good, well, you would bet against Avis. Now, these funds that have these provisions that say they must have shorts, these are the ones where people go to work every day and say, I wish I was an assembly worker, dear, because I'm going to make more money this year.
The hedge funds have underperformed the broader market yet again, as I've made the point many times. Those that have private investments, and that has become something quite popular, that is probably where they're outperforming, if anywhere, because of the crazy valuations. And that's not the word I'm using. I'm hearing it from many others that are taking place in the private market. They're benefiting from that in terms of the marks. But you're right. Now, of course, what they will tell you when they underperform year after year after year after year is that they risk adjust. So that's what they're doing, Jim. They're risk adjusting.
Well, but look, we don't want to buy into their act.
Well,
their act
has.
Is a bogus act.
It's still a huge business. The hedge fund industry is still an enormous business.
You can fool a lot of people out of this, like a P.T. Barnum.
It's been around for a long time, and it's like 25 great years of creating billionaires and centimillionaires.
Well, they're like, look, I think that Warren Buffett has covered that ground pretty close, saying that these people can't outperform, but I've seen the presentations. The presentations are remarkable. They have all sorts of really good graphs. Have you ever seen the presentations? whiteboard.
Marketing is the key to the industry.
I was after one of these presentations. This guy was in there for a half hour and had like a, he said, "Where's your deck?" So and bring a deck. And it's to a university. And he brought a deck that was this big and passed. It's like, wow, I'm great. And then you get to the numbers. The numbers suck. Not only you say, numbers were awful. So I come in.
Scientific term,
and I say, they asked me, said, where's your deck? I say, I'm going to beat everybody. I said, well, no, but what's your strategy? I said, to win. I said, well, no, but what's your plan? I said, to
win.
Beat. Yeah, to win. And I said, a W is a W. And they kicked me out so fast, my head was spinning. And they gave all the money to the guy with the charts and graphs. There you go.
Risk adjusting, man.
So are all of these CEOs who have their stocks inflated on these short-term dynamics, are they now also expected, like Adam Aron, to raise money when it's their turn?
Well, the opposite is what we're going to see today. Mark Tritton has got so much money at Bed Bath, you can buy back stock. Now, I don't know. We got to ask him, would you buy back stock up here? Because the stock just had a major move. I mean, Adam Aron, in that great interview on Melissa's show, I mean, he basically just talked about, these people saved my company. GameStop, we're still waiting, but
never,
it's fun.
Never
fun
really
to wait.
Did the major, major offering. Don't forget, though,
what?
This year, the biggest move that I've seen was not because of
Tesla.
No, was not because of the memes. It was Archegos. It was still Archegos. It was Viacom and Discovery. And Viacom, by the way, did sell $2+ billion worth
so
of stock.
Brilliant, wasn't
you
it?
Remember, I'm looking at Discovery today because they reported earnings. We can talk about that a little later. Look at that move. Look at that.
My Chapel Trust owned it.
That was not,
took a loss.
That was not,
couldn't think of a reason to own it.
That was not the Reddit crowd. That was some guy with his family office that we didn't know had $10 billion working out of Short Hill, wherever he was in New Jersey.
I like that call by you. We keep forgetting that this was just one of those. That was a prelude to the year, to the zaniness of
sure.
Zany.
Of course.
Now, how's the SEC investigation
that? Insane. Now, by the way, Discovery never sold stock, but Viacom did.
It was brilliant.
Yeah.
Hey, could they sell stock and then buy it back? Remember they used to?
Maybe.
He's like, hey, listen, that's sell high, buy low. That's a good strategy.
True.
How's the programs here? They're doing well, the actual company. I forget, that company doesn't matter. It's about the stock. Right?
Yeah.
Don't confuse things. It's about the stock, not the company, David. That's the year 2021. It's not about the company. It's about the stock.
Well, and to that point, Jim, you've been pretty good in telling our viewers what a good seasonal period the last 5 days have been. And we're up 4 for 4 in that period.
Well, I went back to Larry Williams, who is the guy who gave me that. Larry Williams is a great historian of the market, saying stay the course. Not it's a little early to get off the horse. Now, we have the Fed today, and we'll make the Fed's going to do something that is, I think, not anti-worker, because that's Jay Powell. And I feel like we all know Jay, even though no one talks to him. And I think that what's happened is that we keep expecting him to lower the boom. And he'll do something, I think, that's benign because he's learned his lesson. Don't lower the boom. Don't do anything, David, that makes it so that you say, wow, the Fed killed this. Don't do that.
Okay. So what does that mean when you are starting tapering? And that's not enough? Taper's not enough?
Taper. Money's cheap. Try getting a loan, though. It's really hard.
Although Dudley, out with an opinion piece this morning, arguing that the Fed may have to do more than the market expects. He looks back to 2005, 2006, and says you went from 1 to 5.25 for 17 consecutive meetings.
Well, I mean,
and
okay,
he says that's the better template to look at, not this last cycle.
Right. I happen to like Dudley. Very nice man. The problem is that Jay doesn't do things that have been done wrong. Like, he's kind of an historian in the market. Like, he'll watch that and he'll say, well, so this guy thinks I'm going to raise 17 times. He thinks I'm a clown. He thinks I'm Bozo the Clown. He thinks I'm Krusty the Clown. I'm not Krusty the Clown. I read history, too. He knows history. Jay knows history. What, are you like, he's like, wake up and fell off a turnip truck? He sees that 17 times was wrong. So he's like, let's do 18 times. No, I mean, everything about, ever since at the beginning, when he did mistakenly said we need, like, 3 hikes, he learned from his mistakes. I think that shows wisdom. Wisdom. We're a podcast. Don't shake your head. No one knows what the hell you're talking
Sorry,
about.
I forget we're a podcast. Wisdom.
Thank you. That's
yes.
Even more.
Is that good? Did I do okay?
Well, it was nice. It was condescending and insulting, and I liked it. Put me in my place.
No, I wasn't being condescending or insulting. I think usually you know when I am. I'm sorry that you were misinterpreting. I was actually.
Were you condescending and insulting when someone on Jeopardy got it so wrong? That's completely wrong. Didn't you want to do it?
There was one category. It was like mothers, and the guy did celebrity mothers, and the guy did the father. I was like. Categories mothers.
See, but you could have taken the wood to that guy. You could have just
Come on, you know what? They're out there. It's an important moment for them. I'm not going to do that.
It's an important moment
You can't get the damn buzzer right. It's hard.
I know. The best party I've been to, maybe the best ever, was the Jeopardy party.
The Jeopardy party.
Yeah. Yes. I saw Belle, your ma, and it was like, your son is so smart and great. It's like, it's never too late. Never too late to tell a mom.
All right. Let's move on here.
What?
My Lord.
Okay, you want to talk about AMC and how smart Adam Aaron is?
About Jay Powell again. I bet he could be a good Jeopardy contestant.
Jay would be awesome.
When we do come back, you heard us talk about Bed Bath this morning. We'll talk with CEO Mark Tritton after the break. In the meantime, futures, as Jim said, reflecting a little hesitation ahead of the Fed meeting and presser this afternoon. We'll watch that oil also back below 82. Don't go away.
You seek the key, but first, you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
All right, it is one of the most heavily shorted stocks on Wall Street, but it's also a company. Shares of Bed Bath & Beyond are soaring ahead of the opening of trading. The retailer announced a new in-store partnership with Kroger. Kroger's got a lot of stores, by the way. People don't understand how big this thing could be. Increased the buyback and is going to do it ahead of schedule, which is interesting because the stock is up 10, so I don't know how worthwhile that is. But joining us now first on CNBC is a pure delight, Bed Bath & Beyond CEO Mark Tritton. Mark, thank you for coming back on. Last quarter, you were unhappy with it. Seems like you've course corrected. Tell us about it.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. Good to see you. So big, bold moves that we announced yesterday in terms of, you know, really two prongs. One around creating authority in the home and baby spaces with our partnership with Kroger and also our launch of our marketplace. And the second prong is really about that sustained shareholder value, showing the confidence we have in our three-year plan, remembering we're three quarters into a 12-quarter turnaround, which is substantial, but we believe we're on track and excited about that.
Well, let's deal directly with what's happening with the stock this morning, because it does matter. You accelerated repurchase, but it looks like it's already accomplished what it's supposed to. I know you wanted to buy more stock, and you've cut the float in half, and it's always been a great buyer of stock, and now it's actually a good company. But what I'm worried about is it right to spend the money up here, or should you wait till it comes in a little more?
We'll be prudent within the year on when and how we purchase. Obviously, this was a big rock and has created some big ripples, and we're not in it for the day by day. We're in it for the long term. So we've got a process to assess and evaluate really prudent spend to maximize shareholder value. So again, share shooting up to 27.32, that's a moment in time, not part of the overall plan to invest at those levels, of course, and we've got a balanced approach. So we feel good about that.
All right. Well, what did bring you together with the largest grocer, Kroger? How did that partnership come about?
Yeah, look, I think a long time in the making, great conversations around really a fantastic market leader in grocery and consumer engagement. I mean, their reach, their loyalty, and the quality of that company and how they operate. It's just been a real joy to have dialogue with them. But what does that mean for Bed Bath & Beyond? It's a clear entry point for both our Bed Bath brand, as well as importantly, the Bye Bye Baby brand, to reach out to a wider range of customers and really be the dominant brand in the US around the bed and baby categories, home and baby categories. And we see that being tapped into a much wider customer base And in some cases, a wider geography base is a real win for us and creates that authority and gives Kroger key brands and key statements and key banners that they can utilize to also create authority in, with their customer.
Well, I was thinking about this deal, and I think it's really good that we pointed it out, because if you say, let's say you do a $1 to $2 million a store, okay, that's 2 to 4% annual store revenue. That's not that. They got 2,800 stores. So that's not bad. I keep looking at it and I keep thinking, well, then therefore, Bye Bye Baby's worth the whole price of the company.
I knew you were going to go there. I think what this does, I mean, this will be sequential, right? So it's a step change and evolution. Firstly, the digital engagement with their marketplace and their customer base. I think that will teach us a lot. And then a step change of piloting and testing opportunities within the store for shop-in-shop concepts and bringing that authority. I think there is a long-term wide field of play here that has great potential. I wouldn't begin to speculate on its impact at this point because it will be over time to each of the individual banners. But clearly, we've stepped in and partnered here with a great partner for a very specific purpose for growth and authority. They're our two key vehicles. So I think it's a space to be watched. And we'll continue to invest in both of our core banners across the board to create growth, particularly Bye Bye Baby, where we only at approximately about 130 doors now. And where we are in a regional or geographic market, we see that we're number one in baby. And when we see that we're not, we're number 3 to 5. So that recognition of our banner and the associated products, knowing that we will do own brands and create distinct authority and differentiation in Bye Bye Baby as well as Bed Bath, is a key vehicle for future growth and authority.
Mark, it's David Faber. You know, back to the stock buyback. I mean, you've kind of committed to repurchasing $400 million in the third and fourth quarter of this fiscal year. And I just wonder, it's a high-class problem, but if the stock does stay here, and we've seen this happen with short squeezes and with obviously a fundamental reassessing as well, will you still do that? Or do you back off because, you know what, better off to just wait, and or what's the point?
Yeah, we've seen this before, David, unfortunately, a few times where we see these spikes and then a regrouping. So we're going to be watching it closely, and we have cadence in place to be able to manage it. We're not going to waste our precious dollars and also the shareholder dollars. So we'll be prudent, we'll be cautious, but we believe that at this point, when things settle down, we'll have the right share price to be able to purchase ahead of what we see is our 3-year trajectory.
All right, so Mark, I was looking at your website. Obviously, there's some Christmas buys already, and they seem pretty good. I managed to erase that thing you told me to erase. I got 20% off from Bye Bye Baby. But what I'm wondering is that we see Jana suggesting that Macy's do a .com spinoff. Saks is thinking about doing it. Isn't your e-com something like around $3 billion right now? You have 4x revs. It could be worth, I don't know, $12 billion. I know I'm crafting things, whether it be e-com or whether it be Bye Bye Baby. But you know, there's a lot of money around, Mark, and your stock's way too cheap versus the assets.
Look, I think for us, we have come out from day one and said that we're an omnichannel retailer. And the integration of the digital side as well as the physical side of our business is now our partnerships and marketplace. That actually creates a really strong moat for us to say the data and the engagement and the experience are very deeply interconnected between our four key banners and each of those vehicles. So for us, that is the ecosystem that we want to double down on. And we see the value in the company being the value of the ecosystem. So that's how we're investing, we're growing, and we're kind of driving our future plans.
I think you're too modest, but that's okay, because I know last quarter you were unhappy with yourself. You were not happy with marketing. You were probably, unlike, say, a Zillow, incredibly hard on yourself. What were you able to do when you said went back to the old way? How are you able to move so quickly to realize, was it, I mean, I'm going to say it's humility, but I'd like to hear what you realized that you had to change about?
Yeah, look, I think we've always been committed in the new Bed Bath & Beyond to a level of transparency engagement with our shareholders, the street, media and customers. And that goes in good times and bad. And we had a tough time in Q2. And we saw some headwinds that we were not in our control, but we had to manage supply chain, COVID. And then we saw some headwinds there that were really self-inflicted. And that's that's tough. But you have to double down, you have to own it, you have to change it. For us, it was really about, we cut off the lifeline for our marketing engagement to our everyday customer and really divested and reinvested in areas that weren't as fruitful. And we didn't have the right clarity and transparency around that internally. We've stopped that. We've pivoted under the new leadership of Rafi Masood, who's now our chief customer officer, really engaging that 360 response and coming back to key vehicles, not to promote, but to engage the customer and share our story and our opportunities, whether it be a deal or a great new brand, on a regular cadence. Just getting that into remastering the fundamentals it was one of our key priorities. And we've done a lot of work with our key partners like Google, et cetera, on understanding our customer, our traffic, our email penetration, et cetera. And that's been an evolutionary process, as we talked about, took a little moment. We see November and through to Q4, the really strengthening period of that turnaround in our self-inflicted wounds.
All right. Well, Mark, I would urge people to go to the Chelsea store if they want to understand the future in Manhattan. The short should go because, boy, are they ever a bunch of morons. Mark, great to see you. Mark Tritton, who is the CEO of Bed Bath & Beyond, which is going to be up a great deal today and deserves to be. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim and team.
Still to come this morning, Cramer's Matt Dash will count down to the opening bell. Take a look at futures. We'll get to some of the companies that have raised guidance today, including Mondelez, Amgen, CVS, Timo. NASDAQ's got a good shot at an opening high, all-time high at the open. We're back in a minute.
Hi, I'm Ben. I suffer from a condition called writer's block. It strikes when I'm at work. That's why I choose Canva Magic Write. It works fast, generating texts in seconds, thanks to AI.
Common side effects include increased productivity, compliments from coworkers, feelings of satisfaction.
Now I can say bye-bye to writer's block.
Ask your boss if Canva Magic Write is right for you at canva.com, designed for work.
Take a look at some of the laggards this morning. Activism Blizzard is going to be at the top of the list. Revenue in line. They do guide below, though. We'll talk more about that in a few moments as we get the opening bell in 5.5 minutes. Don't go away.
All right, let's get to a Mad Dash. We'll get you right down to the opening bell as well. Why PayPal?
Well, okay. You know I have this investment club.
Yes.
And we have some wins. Estee Lauder was something we a very big position, a DuPont. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about a loss because I think you have to be transparent. Okay. And that's part of what the club's about. We've been buying PayPal ever since, pretty big after since this Pinterest deal broke down, thinking that people would realize, well, wait a second, PayPal's doing well. And they maybe did this ill-advised move in talking to Pinterest, but it doesn't matter. And one of the reasons it doesn't matter is because there's a company called Global Payments that reported, and Lisa Ellis, by the way, who's at MoffettNathanson, who's excellent. It's not just MoffettNathanson there. There's a lot of good people.
No, they've, right.
She talks about how it was a ho-hum quarter, and that's not good enough for Global Payments. But she's talking about a new world. And the new world is that MasterCard, Visa, PayPal, and Global are now old. And new are Affirm and Klarna and these companies that are buy now, pay later. So PayPal, incredibly, is being lumped in with old. I'm not talking about the Lux check, although I had them on. They seem to have a good story.
It does seem a little hard to imagine that it could be lumped in with old.
Right, but they're not. Their emphasis is not buy now, pay later. They can be disintermediated by a firm. Now, let me just go back in the real world. Dan Schulman runs PayPal, and he's the best there is, okay? And the idea that this company is falling apart or really being hurt by buy now, pay later is they've got it. So it's really kind of...
They may, although it is a big, it is, we talked about this a few weeks ago.
It's big, right.
It is a truly emerging force.
Right, but we know that there's Stripe, what's going to happen is there's a lot of IPOs that are coming, and maybe this has become, PayPal's become a source of funds. Now, in my defense, since I've been completely wrong on this, is that, because I'm right earlier, that Dan Schulman is a force, he's not sitting there and saying, you know what, my stock goes down every day, wah, he can buy back stock.
Although,
it's great company.
Jim, the Pinterest thing did throw people. And it's a sometimes it can be seen as a sign, like, what are they thinking and why are they thinking it? Particularly when they couldn't articulate anything around it.
Well, you just put it, you just did it. You actually just said that's, you know, that is why it's going down. Like, Dan Schulman loses his mind. Well, it would have been, he might have lost his mind how you bought it. But
well,
yeah, I agree with you.
Able to articulate
stock
has
not,
why.
Stock has not gone up. I mean, it's gone down every day since they announced, almost every day since they announced the Pinterest deal. So, anyway, PayPal, once a darling, now dislike.
like Chapel Trust owns it, been wrong, like to point out the mistakes. A lot of money managers come on. They've never made a mistake in the world. There's my mistake.
Take a look at Allbirds, ringing the bell at the NASDAQ this morning, pricing $20 million at 15. That's above the range of 12 to 14. At the big board, it's Trine 2 Acquisition Corp celebrating its IPO as well. Pretty good pipeline of IPOs coming. Well, we have Rivian next week, we think.
Right, we have branding IPOs. That's what I regard Allbirds branding, because it's not making money. My idea of a branding IPO is one that is not profitable. Now, they're almost profitable, that kind of thing. But what matters to me is that there's a group of companies, whether it be Warby Parker, this one, where they come public. And, David, what they really do is kind of like in the 1990s and 2000. Oh, Allbirds, I'll buy that. That's a good company. I like their shoes.
Right.
That's one of the things we're in. We're in that era. I have three pairs of Allbirds, so I'm going to buy a stock of Allbirds. David, wasn't that reminiscent of another era?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. And it was unclear whether many of those companies ever would truly profitable.
Right.
Although it is interesting. You would have imagined we had a glut of athletic footwear a few years ago, and yet here we are. I mean, you had another one come public very recently. Well, there are any number of new entrants that have been able to get traction, so to speak, certainly building brands in this environment.
Well, look at Under Armour yesterday. Look at the Dick's Nike partnership announced today. Look at the trademark patent that we talked about yesterday that Nike filed to sell its Swoosh and Just Do It merchandise in virtual worlds.
Well, we haven't even talked about Match.
What's going on with Match?
Oh, come on. You must have saw
what
happened.
I didn't see it. Tell me.
Yes, you did.
No.
Okay, so Match, as I get out my what am I looking at, which is something good
that
the club does.
You're up to page 7 here.
Yeah, well, there was a tremendous number of IPOs.
Remember,
if you want news.
If you want this for the investment club, you hold your phone up to Jim's head, where there's a QR code embedded.
The Kramerverse.
And
the Kramerverse.
You get...
Oh, I'm so glad you mentioned Verse, because what was interesting about Match has a metaverse. It's called Single Town. It's a live virtual world where you get an avatar. An avatar can engage with others. It's a new experience, provides a glimpse into how metaverse experiences could be applicable to dating. They call it the next phase of dating, where your avatar meets someone else's avatar. And, you know, if there's chemistry, then who the heck knows? Right?
The sparks fly.
Do you keep it in the metaverse, or do you take it out of the metaverse?
What happens in the metaverse stays in the metaverse.
I think there are so many questions, so many I have about this, and we need to start asking them all.
I'm asking
yesterday
every single
you
one
asked
of
if
them.
We keep the same wives.
Yes.
And now you want to know if you can transfer girlfriends from the digital to the physical world.
Your avatar could have the time of its life.
It sure could. Well, you in every leading technology, you know what I won't say.
Yep.
It,
no, it's
you know
always
what
led.
It is. You know what leads.
Yes.
Every single time.
I think our viewers know too.
You know too.
Yes. I'm not going there. I think it's a way to be able to read Shakespeare.
That's what gets there.
We also didn't mention Microsoft in Nadella's video yesterday, looking at Mesh and Teams and the testimonial from Accenture on how they're onboarding new hires.
They are doing so well. I mean, anyone who has their system knows that Teams comes up immediately. And it's like, wow, I guess I better use it because it just came up immediately. He's doing a very good job. And that's become the blue chip that no one's worried about. It's never mentioned in front of Congress, not since 1999 when they had that kind of nasty dust up where Steve Ballmer said some terrible things about the attorney general. It was ill-advised, by the way. Meta platforms. Well, what can I say?
Zillow Group down 15% this morning, obviously getting out of the iBuying business, $500 million write down, cutting a quarter of its workforce. This is what Jim said about that home buying model in, is this right, April of 2019?
Yeah.
Take a listen to this.
Maybe Rich Barton can orchestrate a phenomenal turnaround at Zillow. I'm glad he's running things again. But I think this headlong rush into the house flipping business could prove to be very risky. And even if it works, there will absolutely be some brutal speed bumps along the way.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, it turned out to be a little bit like when Andy Dufresne approaches the warden in Shawshank and says that he's obtuse. This was an obtuse move. I was early on it, thinking that this has got to be one of the dumbest things. I remember they were going to make a market in homes, kind of like the OTC or now NASDAQ. And it was ill-advised. I said, stay away. I said, don't touch this stock. I said, it could be a disaster. And
you were dead right.
But I liked Wingstop, too.
Were they basing it on as estimates? Because anytime you look at his estimate, you're like, that doesn't look anything like what I think.
Exactly. They thought that they would be able to predict by using, you know,
AI. Their AI did not function well.
Well, their avatars. Kerplunk.
They own thousands and thousands of homes.
Well, they've sold a lot of homes.
Yeah.
Didn't get a great price, I don't think.
No, they're down. I think they're down, average down for, what, 4% on.
No, they cut 25% of their workforce. And I felt that when I listened to the call, the level of arrogance that oozed through that conference call was for Zillow, for
Barton. Last night?
Yeah, it was really kind of painful. As I felt the closing bell interview with Barton was painful. I wasn't buying what he was selling.
Here's what he said on closing bell last night.
This was a necessary decision. We just determined that being an iBuyer was too risky, too volatile, and ultimately addressed too few customers, too narrow.
You know, so that wasn't eating enough crow for you?
No, when I first came out, what I said was it was too risky, too volatile, and too small. So, hey, better late than never? No. 25% of the workforce, billions law. I mean, I don't know. I think that would have been a case where humility, like Mark Tritton, I don't know if people remember, but when he reported, he said, look, I screwed up. Yeah. I screwed up. It's bad. But, well, this was, I thought this was an admission that kind of was not sorrowful enough.
Right. It was.
I mean, a guy who finishes last place in the NFL is more sorrowful.
To use one of your favorite terms, suboptimal.
Very suboptimal.
Yeah. Let me go to something that isn't, which is...
Oh, let me guess. Hold on just a second.
Yeah.
Discovery?
You want an envelope?
No.
No?
One more.
Okay.
Discovery.
T-Mobile!
Yes, yeah. T-Mobile.
Yes, what is T-Mobile?
Yeah, what is
T-Mobile? How much did I get? 600?
Was that for 600? It was up 7%. It's still up over 6. Obviously, one of the largest... Right up there with AT&T and Verizon in terms of the size of the company.
Is it bigger than Bed Bath?
It's bigger than U.S. Steel, I'll tell you that much.
Wow.
And it's about, it's a lot of Bed Baths are in there. Well, we're talking $150 billion market value. Stock is up. Take a look, though. This, Jim's not
what, how
like
much
this.
Has been down since AT&T?
I mean, they're getting what? The benefit of, there was an upgrade at Raymond James, postpaid phone net adds, 673,000. We all know how, or many people believe they're the best position in terms of 5G at this point, given their spectrum position overall. You can see none of these stocks has done well this year. It has been a difficult competition. Don't forget, Comcast and Charter also competing to some extent, although they, too, have not been particularly strong performers in the stock market overall. They're the concern more about the loss of subs in the broadband market, or lack of growth, I should say. But take a look at the numbers, because, Jim... When you look at the quarter and net adds,
the 600
had the most.
I know. T-Mobile only had 673,000.
I mean, it's not nothing, but AT&T added 928,000 subs, and that was number one. And they certainly won't let you forget that. Of course, that will segue us into Discovery. I think, because they are moving ahead, getting closer and closer. Perhaps as soon as, I don't know, April of next year, you could see an approval and the deal close. Let's call it late, early, mid-spring, I don't know, where Discovery will merge with the Warner assets.
Yeah, that's...
Stock not doing much.
It's early.
You saw the Archegos. There it is. I mean, there's the Archegos Mountain. It is amazing to look back at that. But when you look over a long period of time, Discovery hasn't really done much. And it is down. It has not responded well to the deal itself. David Zaslav, though, talking about and addressing one of the key fears of shareholders, which is the leverage. It's going to be 5 times when they get the deal done. But he says, we see a path to reducing leverage to around 3 times meaningfully sooner than what we articulated in May when the deal was announced. This points to stronger financial footing than we had anticipated as we stand up the merged company, accelerate the pace to deliver there. They do have 20 million direct-to-consumer subs now for Discovery Plus. And, again, he did emphasize that ability to reduce leverage to 3 times meaningfully sooner. But overall, linear networks keep going down, and that does also continue to be a key concern of investors. The numbers are negative, and they will continue to be negative, it would seem, for the foreseeable future.
Also, Kevin Meyer.
3% lower and 8% lower for 8% lower from Linear Networks total subscribers. Kevin Meyer being added as a consultant as of now. Yeah. Of course, the man who helped launch Disney's very successful direct-to-consumer offering, Disney Plus. He will come in as a consultant. It was asked on the call, well, will he be made a permanent part of the executive team? That does not appear to be the case at this point. But, yeah, Carl, that was interesting as well.
Yeah, he said he's getting in the car with us. We'll see about an operating role down the road, but that's interesting.
But David's right. I mean, when you look at there's been some moves in a lot of different sectors that have been very positive, and that sector has been one to avoid.
Activision, Jim, down 15%.
Oh, my. And did you read that on that conference call?
Yeah. I mean, I've been following the company in part because, of course, the difficulties it has had in terms of those harassment lawsuits, allegations, state of California coming after them. They're doing a lot to address that. But I don't know if that led to the inability to get stuff done on the same timeline or not on the timeline that they had originally told us they were.
We do have analysts saying that that is the reason that there's been so much turnover at key levels simply because of what is misconduct. I do want to point to a line in that conference call that I found to be disturbing that Bobby Kotick said. He goes, there will be no more retaliations against anyone making a compliance complaint. They'll be terminated immediately. So in other words, let's say you said, I think there's sexism, then you were retaliated against. That is outrageous. And good that they're going to terminate people, but they should maybe with extreme prejudice for lack of a better.
A bunch of other movers to watch. Lyft is up almost 11% today, talking about better driver availability. As we go to break, take a look at the bond report. As the Dow is down 110, S&P's back to 4624. We did get 151 this morning on the 10-year. That is a 2.5-week low. And, of course, just a few hours away now from the Fed's statement and presser. Don't go away.
Welcome back to Squawk on the Street. Rick Santelli here live at CME HQ with breaking news. Our October final read on the market PMIs. On the composite, well, 57.3 was mid-month. 0.3 of improvement now placed the final read at 57.6. And we look at the service index, it also improved. It wasn't expected to. Whether it was labor costs or supply issues, many thought it would move in the reverse. But 58.7, 0.5% better than our mid-month read at 58.2. And, of course, we may have what is the preferred services PMI coming up at the top of the hour, along with factory orders and durable goods. Don't touch that remote. Squawk on the Street will return after these important messages.
When I sit down with CEOs and they state that they have not met with the mayor here in a city that we call ourselves the Empire State, how don't we engage with those who have the empires here? And when we hit that reset, the resources, the expertise, all of that information can be used to help people move out of institutional poverty. And I think it's an important relationship.
That's New York City Mayor-elect. Eric Adams talking about the election this morning on Squawk Box. The second black New York City mayor says that practical is progressive. Jim, that's a new message.
Well, look, I'm from Brooklyn. Enjoy what he had to say. I think that what matters, and Dave, you may disagree with me, but I think that there was an overall feeling that Wall Street wasn't really wanted under the previous administration.
I don't disagree with you at all. I think that was made clear. Any of the executives that certainly we speak to, not on air, but privately, have indicated that there was a sort of a we're not interested.
Right.
And Mayor Adams, now mayor elect, has made it very clear throughout that the campaign that he's kind of going to have a different approach. And there are a lot of decisions that big companies still, even if you hear about them moving certain things to Florida, big companies need to make decisions in coming years about whether they want to stay here. For example, a Blackstone.
Right.
When you think about all the employees they have in this city and whether they'd want to create a new headquarters, very hard to have that conversation even with the last administration.
Do you think he would have been a champion of Amazon?
Much easier to have a conversation. Absolutely would have been a champion of Amazon.
It would have been very important.
And the headquarters that ultimately did not occur, even though it had been awarded to Queens. 30,000 plus jobs potentially. Although these days, who knows who's actually going to be in the office anyway. But
still paying jobs.
So a different approach.
Yeah, some of the Castle office swipe data is getting slowly better. And the Gallup poll today, 18% say the pandemic's getting worse. It's down from 54% a month ago.
Oh, that's terrific.
As people begin to feel better about childhood vaccines and orals and all
Dr.
of that.
Yeah, Dr. Gottlieb, but good things to say. I'm not saying it's rearview mirror. I do think that, because he said, listen, regionally, it's a regional notion right now. It's not a national. I thought that was very shrewd because we don't feel it up here.
Yeah, it's true. Let's get to Bob Bassani this morning. Hey, Bob.
Not even on the advanced decline line. Goldman's a little bit weak. Fresh highs, though, over in Europe. Europe's been on a tear recently. Just take a look at the sectors. Kind of a mixed picture right now. More defensive. Consumer staples higher. Energy, industrials, tech modestly weaker. But tech's been on a tear. Momentum really strong there. Banks fractionally on the upside. The big debate still in earnings, of course, duration of the supply chain constraints. How long is this going to go on? A number of comments this morning. Very interesting. Some of the big global industrials have been reporting. Take a look. For example, at Emerson, huge global electrical component company. Demand continues to be strong. That's the theme we've heard all throughout the season. Volumes lower due to the supply chain constraints. And they're talking about these operational challenges. That means supply chain continuing through the first half there. So there's a number on that. BorgWarner, big automotive, global automotive parts manufacturer. Same thing, strong demand, decline in industry production due to supply constraints. Earnings growth, but actually, amazingly, lower than last year due to these supply constraints. So there you see the real impact that's going on here. Different business, but Mondelez essentially said the same thing. Snacks and beverage, obviously, but demand is vibrant. And they're raising prices. Folks, Oreo cookies are going up. Some of the chocolates are going up as well. We expect elevated inflation and logistics volatility to persist. And it's interesting, Dirk Van de Put, the CEO, made some comments saying that he was surprised by the consumer's willingness to accept price increases and was asked when would it change. And he said, it's a bit of a guess at the moment. So he's not quite sure himself here. If you look at the numbers here, Emerson down, BorgWarner down, Mondelez up 2%. Tupperware, by the way, surprisingly had an earnings beat and a significant revenue shortfall. And, of course, they cited all the ongoing problems with logistics and, of course, the global pandemic. So Tupperware is getting hit rather noticeably on that revenue shortfall today, down 13%. So where does it all mean? It's the same basic theme. We've seen demand to be continue to be really strong. We are seeing the supply constraints that are existing for everybody else. And overall, the margins are continuing to be reasonably strong. There are some isolated examples in the consumer staples spaces, but generally earnings this quarter, Carl, going to come in up about 12%, 12.5%. I'm talking about margins right now, 12.5%. That is lower than the 13.5% record margins that we saw in the S&P in the second quarter, but still remarkably high given all these supply chain issues. And the story is very simple. If you can unravel some of these supply chain constraints, the demand is there, revenues will be rising. And that's one reason the overall stock market is holding up so well. Carl, back to you.
A couple more promising notes out of the autos today, at least on that front. Bob, thanks.
Okay.
Bob Bassani. Let's get to Stop Trading with Jim.
Okay, CVS is very important today. Karen Lynch did a terrific job. New CEO Larry Merlo put previous policy in place of buying Aetna. Lisa Gill, one of my favorite analysts over at J.P. Morgan, talking about Aetna adding 1.3 million incremental members, a Medicare Advantage up 9.2%. But a lot of it benefited from vaccines at CVS. Still, they keep the customers, then it's going to go even higher. Sells at 12 times earnings. I still like it.
Walgreens today says kid vaccines begin Saturday.
Yeah, so it's more more business for CVS. Larry Merlo took a lot of heat for what he did with that. And they paid back $18 billion in debt. And I think Karen Lynch is doing a magnificent job.
All right, Jim. How about tonight?
Okay, so I've got Wingstop. I've got NiSource. And then I've got an interesting guest who's, I think, an icon. I've got Jane Goodall. And we're talking about trees. I know. I'm an idol. Jane Goodall.
My daughter went as her for Halloween a couple of years ago.
Are you serious?
Yeah. We love Goodall in our house.
Well, she is. I'm talking about trees. She mentioned at Davos, and she's been... I'm in awe of her. New book is really amazing. She's just one of the tight, I got to meet, at one point, I got Bishop Tutu, and now I've got Jane Goodall. That's them. There we go. That's who I want to meet.
It's pretty cool.
Thank you.
That's a good guy. Cool.
We'll see you tonight, Mad Money, 6 p.m. Eastern time. Of course, you can get in on the new CNBC Investing Club with Cramer. Sign up and find out more, cnbc.com/investing club, or just use the QR code, or as David does, just take your phone and point it right at Jim's head.
But I'm going to make it happen.
You've been listening to The Opening Bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.